Cater. Business catering made easy.
Visit Array Katina Service Center for first-class vehicle service at affordable prices. Schedule an appointment today or visit raykatina.com for service specials, coupons, and so much more.
This weekend, we're hitting the links as Anne Liguori covers the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black, including a special golf hour tomorrow morning at 7. And Yankees fans, we've got you covered tomorrow at 1:05 as the Bombers host the Tampa Bay Rays with coverage underway at 12:25. And there's always a ton of New York Sports Talk, where you get to chime in with your comments. We are your flagship station for New York sports and New York Sports Talk. The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN FM, New York, a radio.com sports station.
WFAN 2020 Sports.
Good evening at 7 o'clock. This is Erica Herskowitz.
Birdie drives one out to right field, chasing Nimmo back near the wall. It's out of here. John Birdie with his second home run of the year. And the Marlins, just like that, jump out to a 1-0 lead.
Gary Cohen, the call on SNY, make it four straight losses for the Mets. They were shut out by the Marlins in Miami today, 2-0. Steven Matz activated from the injured list before the game, allowed both runs on five hits over just 3 2/3. John Birdie led off the game with a solo shot. Brian Anderson added an RBI single in the third, providing just enough support for Miami starter Pablo Lopez, who gave up a hit on struck out seven over seven scoreless for the win. Meanwhile, in the Bronx, Austin Meadows snapped a 1-1 tie with a solo shot off Luis Cessa in the 11th to help the Rays beat the Yankees at the stadium 2-1. It was a pitcher's duel most of the way, with the Yankees grabbed an early 1-0 lead on a bases-loaded wild pitch from Blake Snell in the third. Masahiro Tanaka pitched six scoreless innings but ended up leaving the game before the seventh after getting hit in the shin by a grounder. That's when Tommy Kahnle took over and allowed a game-tying home run to Brandon Lowe, which eventually sent this one into extra innings. Well, the Yanks had a chance in the bottom of the 11th, but with one on and one out, Gary Sanchez grounded into a double play to end the game. A rough day overall, says Yankee skipper Aaron Boone.
Tampa can do that to you. You're facing Snell. I mean, it can be... it's a challenge. So, you know, obviously a tough day for him, and look forward to him getting back in there tomorrow behind the plate and getting back after it.
Boone, courtesy of the Yes Network, Sanchez went 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts. The Yankees will be sending Chad Green to the mound to face Charlie Morton when they take on the Rays in the rubber match of their weekend set at the stadium tomorrow afternoon. We'll get the latest from the PGA Championship next. Fan 2020 Sports Time 7:02.
Tonight on Showtime.
Deontay Wilder wants to be king.
Champions earn it.
Wilder showing heart and grit.
Legends never let it go.
I hold the heavyweight division. I am the man.
Undefeated champion Deontay Wilder returns to the ring to take on fellow knockout artist Dominic Brazil.
Another terrific heavyweight championship bout.
Wilder versus Brazil. Tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on Showtime.
You, sports bettors, are our people. We know you're debating lineups, playoff seeds, and championship favorites. Now's the time to get in on the action with William Hill, America's number one sports book. We've been taking bets for over 85 years. So this spring, download the William Hill app or go to williamhill.com. The world bets with William Hill. Must be 21 and over and physically present in New Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 800GAMBLER.org.
Mercedes-Benz of Morristown Sales Department is open Memorial Day Monday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. You do have a choice, so make it Mercedes-Benz of Morristown on Ridgedale Avenue. Call 888-THE-BENZ.
Fan 2020 Sports Time 7:03. Third round action rolls on at the PGA Championship in Farmingdale, and that's where we go to get the very latest from the fans and Liguori.
Hey, Erica. Well, Brooks Koepka, with 3 birdies and 3 bogeys, did not have his A game today. He shot an even par 70, but at 12 under for the championship, his lead remains at 7 shots. 4 guys are tied for second place at 5 under, 7 shots behind. Harold Varner, the third, and Jazz Janawatanan shot the low rounds of the day, 367s. Luke List and Dustin Johnson both shot 169s, but it could take a miracle for those guys and any below them to catch Brooks Koepka. Koepka, he blocked several of his drives. Had to scramble a bit. He came up short on several putts, left a lot of birdie opportunities out there. But with the wind picking up in the afternoon, Erica, the course played even tougher. The defending champion heads into the final round on Sunday with the opportunity to become the first ever player to win 2 major titles back-to-back simultaneously. Erica?
All right, Ann, and the Preakness just ran at Pimlico, and War of Will is the unofficial winner right now as this game, this race just completed. On the hardwood tonight, the Warriors will tip off against the Blazers in Game 3 of the West Finals in Portland, where Golden State leads the best of seven set 2-0. This report's brought to you by 2 by London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. On Thursday, June 6th, head to Stonebridge Golf Links and Country Club in Smithtown, Long Island for the 5th Annual Global Foundation for First Responders Charity Golf Outing. Proceeds support families of first responders who have lost their lives in the line of duty. For more information, you can visit globalfirstresponders.org. Checking the fan weather for tonight, cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, highs in the upper 70s. And tomorrow night, cloudy with a chance of showers. Lows in the mid-60s. Your current Central Park temperature, 68 degrees under sunny skies, and that's what's happening. I'm Erica Herskowitz with Sports Flashes every 20 minutes on Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, your flagship station for New York sports. Listen to us anytime, anywhere. Just download the radio.com app and favorite us today. And if you have Alexa or Google, just say play WFAN and you'll be locked into the fan.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66.
Kim Jones here with you till 9. This show is flying because the Yankees and Rays did not fly. They went into extras. So, Bot Express, the number 9 horse in the Preakness, did the jockey just fall off? Did the horse do something? Like, how did the jockey fall off?
It looked like the horse, like, kind of jolted forward when the gate opened.
Right.
And the jockey took a tumble off.
He fell off, and then the horse ran
the entire race
by itself. Why didn't he win, though? He didn't have the 70-pound jockey on him. He should have won the race.
Probably.
Right? Oh, my God. Horse racing's a little crazy right now, if you haven't noticed. And who won? War of Will, correct?
The unofficial winner.
Unofficial. I don't believe there was any shenanigans, though. Was there any interference that you saw,
Paul?
Minus
the horse just running by himself?
No, well, the horse did run by himself. I was so rooting for that horse. All right. Back to the Mets. Kim Jones with you till 9. Is John Harper with us? Oh, my gosh. I'm wasting our time on a jockeyless horse. I apologize, John Harper. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, it's a good analogy because it kind of looks like the jockey has fallen off the Mets horse these days right now.
John, very good. Very good. First of all, welcome and thank you. I appreciate your joining me.
Sure, anytime.
Listen, I root for both the Mets and Yankees because in my role here at The Fan, it's fun to have a summer where both of them are in it. And much like football season, we haven't had a baseball season where both have been in it, you know, a lot lately. That's not going to happen. It doesn't look like. What has happened to the New York Mets this early this season and this drastically where they're today losing a series to the lowly Marlins?
Yeah, it's one of those where everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Again, it seems like that happens too often for the Mets, yep. But only really in the last 2 or 3 weeks because they did get off to a decent start. But they haven't pitched as well as they were supposed to, and after a decent start with the offense, the guys that Brody Van Wagenen went out and got, like Robbie Cano and Ramos and those guys, they haven't hit. So, and they had their bullpen was bad early. Everything's gone bad, and then you have a situation where I don't think they should have brought the manager back to start the year. I don't think it was Brody Van Wagenen's choice. I think that was forced on him. And so you have that whole situation, and now you probably have a manager watching in full go now.
Is there a
so
chance
everything's going wrong?
You're right, John. Everything is going wrong. Is there a chance Mickey Callaway gets fired in the wake of this series?
I think there's a chance for sure. You know how this goes, Kim.
Yep.
When this kind of talk starts, it kind of takes on a life of its own.
Yep.
And especially when it's hard to find anybody who thinks Mickey Callaway is really a good manager. You know, he looked like he was in over his head last year. Some of the things he did and said, and part of it, I think, was the Mets did him a disservice by not having any kind of National League presence as a bench coach in the dugout with him. They at least brought in Riggleman this year, which has helped some of the in-game stuff. But you still don't get that sense that this is the guy that's going to lead a team to any kind of championship. I thought he had a chance to make a statement by benching Cano after Cano didn't run out of double play ball last night, and then claimed that he thought there were two outs or whatever. And whatever the excuse was, I thought Callaway in his situation, especially in that situation, the game was on the line. In Callaway's situation, he knows all this talk is out there. I thought he had a chance to maybe kind of set an example, send a message, and kind of send a jolt into his team. He didn't do it, and they went out and got one hit by the Marlins today. So yeah. Now he looks like a dead man walking.
I don't love talk like this. It's our reality, though, and you know you can't shy away from it because then it's just what are you doing on sports talk radio? So I understand all of that. Would the Mets likely go to Riggleman? I mean, is that part of why he's there on the staff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was their intention necessarily.
Okay,
but it was pretty obvious that he is a guy who's done this before.
Yep.
At least a few times and even just last year, he took over as an interim manager. And everybody thinks he's a solid, you know, just a solid baseball guy. He's not going to be, I can't imagine he would be their next their long-term choice as manager. But he is the logical guy to take over, which tells you that the part that bothers me, if you are going to fire a guy this early in the season,
mm-hmm.
it just tells me that you didn't have faith going into the
Agreed.
Season. That you didn't feel, you know, you didn't have any faith in it to begin with. Now you're just looking for a reason to make a change. So you should have made the change in the off season. And if you just kept him because of money, then, you know, shame on them. Because I can't imagine that he was Ben Wagner's first choice. He's not making huge money. Not, you know, nobody in baseball. Managers aren't getting paid the way they used to. It's a fraction of what they pay the players. So that should not have been the reason to bring him back. So I'm not sure. I'm not saying that was. I don't know that for sure. But when you make a change this early in the year, it's usually a telltale sign that you didn't have a lot of faith going into the season.
Are you convinced, John, the Mets are better than they've shown, except for that great start that they got off to, of course? Or are only some of the players better than what they've shown? You know, I mean, you know, how good should this team be in your estimation?
Well, when you look at it, I mean, the two things that have really, you couldn't have gone into the season expecting were what Alonso and McNeil have given you. They have been the whole offense on some days. So
yes.
If you think about that, and you put this team together thinking you are going to win when you really couldn't count on those two guys, this team should be in contention. So, again, it kind of falls on – this is where it really falls on Ben Wagner, at least as much as Callaway, because so far, the guys he went and got guys that were older, guys in their 30s, like Ramos and Cano and Lowry, who we haven't even seen, brought back Familia. All those moves, none of those moves have worked. So, look, you didn't expect DeGrom to have some rough outings the way he has. I thought Syndergaard would be better. Wheeler's been pretty good, but he's had some bad ones against mm-hmm. the Nationals. I thought the starting pitching would be better. So I still look at this team and say they should be a team that plays over 500 baseball. So I do think they're better than this, but you got to see guys like Ramos and Cano perform. You know, I thought Cano would have a good year. I didn't really
like
the trade
because
the guy's got 5 years left,
yep.
and they gave up one of their top prospects to get him. But I thought he'd come in here and have a solid year, and he still might. But if this is just a slow start, it's really costing this team right now.
John Harper of SNY with Kim Jones here on The Fan. John, is there a knock on Brody, though, that he was, it seems, so bent on bringing in guys with whom he was familiar, with former clients of his and that sort of thing? As you noted, Cano hasn't performed, which also surprises me. And, you know, Jed Lowry is, you know, a ghost. I mean, you know, Todd Frazier's not, I don't know that... I understand there's some value to a guy like a Todd Frazier, but I don't know that there is on this kind of a team, John, to be honest with
you.
You know, it just seems like the decisions were made almost more with his heart in some cases with guys that he had relationships with.
That's fair, Kim. I've questioned that myself.
Okay.
At the time of the trade, I questioned it. You know, is he seeing through kind of his eyes wanting to believe that Cano is
exactly.
still the guy that was his client that he's known over the years. The guy did have a PED suspension last year. He's 36 years old. So is he being objective when he evaluates these guys, or is he going on this trust on the relationship that he built with a guy like Cano that he can come in here and be a leader and be the guy to lead this offense? And to some extent, the same thing with Lowry. He's 35 years old as well. This is what happened. You know, all of baseball is trending younger and younger and younger, and the Mets, you know, he came in here and made moves to try and win right now, going against that grain. So you do have to question some of that. I actually thought at the time that, you know, because Realmuto was another one of his clients, so I thought he showed some flexibility when it looked like he couldn't get a deal he wanted to with the Marlins. They were asking, he thought they were asking for too much. He went and got Ramos. But the only problem there is, you know, you just never know. Catcher, he's a big guy. He's had knee surgeries. Catcher,
yeah.
When catchers get into their 30s, and I think he's only 30, 31, but still, catchers, you never know when they're going to lose it. He hasn't looked like the same guy either.
No.
So you can definitely question a lot of his moves, and some of them do go back to his relationships with his players for sure.
The Mets are only 20 and 24. It feels worse, though. I mean, I think most people would agree with that. It feels worse than that. And I'm assuming that includes today's loss. If it doesn't, then they're 20 and 25, whatever. It's not,
right.
It's not catastrophic.
Five wins against the Marlins.
Exactly.
Of those wins against the Marlins.
Exactly. And it's not catastrophic yet. Is it salvageable, John Harper?
I think it is, only because I still think, I mean, if you don't think DeGrom's not going to figure it out, and Syndergaard's not going to figure it out in particular, then it's probably not.
Right.
But I still have to believe those guys are going to give you high-level pitching. And if you do that, that's a basis for something. And when you have got young guys like McNeil and Alonso doing what they're doing, you have some potential there. The problem is they don't have a lot in there, as has been the case in the last couple of years. They don't have a lot at the top levels of their farm system, guys that are coming, especially in the pitching department. They have this one young guy, Anthony Kay, I believe it is, and he's pitching in Double-A, lefty from UConn, who's pitched really well. But is he going to be ready this year? Not really sure about that. That's one thing Van Wagenen did. He went out and improved the depth. Probably the best move he's made so far is go to get a guy like J.D. Davis, who's filled in. But I guess I'm trying to see that there is something salvageable here, but there are a lot of problems that you can see with spots like the bullpen in particular. And just now this offense is starting to look like what it did last year. So yeah. It's hard to believe, have a lot of faith, but they're better than this.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Baseball now is dependent on analytics and numbers above all, it seems. And to an extent, I understand that. I've always believed the game, whatever the game is, has a heartbeat, and I don't discount the individual in that stuff. But for the purpose of this question, which I'm going to get to any second now, the numbers with Nito behind the plate with DeGrom are so much better than Ramos. Why is he not catching DeGrom? Like, again, for an industry that is obsessed with analytics and what numbers tell them, that's an easy fix that perhaps makes your best pitcher more comfortable. Why hasn't that been done?
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, I think, especially the way Ramos is playing.
He's hitting a home run every at-bat, by the way.
Right. When the numbers are that stark, at some point, you do have to trust them. And I saw where Callaway basically said today, nobody's going good enough to have their own catcher or something, which seems like, a little bit of a shot at DeGrom, which is fine. But if you're going to take that stance, you need to take that kind of stance with a guy like Cano
exactly.
as well. So, and he didn't do that. So hey, I go back farther than that. I go back to last year, DeGrom loved throwing to Mazzarocco, and he made him his personal catcher.
Yep.
He was unbeatable. They get rid of Mazzarocco.
They couldn't wait to get rid of him, and I didn't understand it, John.
I know. I've had this discussion.
Is there something there that I'm missing? Clearly, there's something I'm missing.
I was only in spring training with them for a week or so. I didn't see a lot of him. Their people claim he really wasn't moving well at all. He's not an old guy, but he's early 30s who's had injuries. So they thought he was immobile, didn't frame well, all that stuff. But again, he's a guy who really related well to the pitchers. When he came in, everybody loved him because, you know, they had Travis d'Arnaud and Plawecki there, guys who didn't relate well to the pitchers, weren't good game callers.
Yep.
This guy came in and prepared so well that they brought Nito up just to be around Mazzarocco to show how you're supposed to prepare for games. So DeGrom loved him, Wheeler loved him, just because he connected. He really got in their face at times, made him throw inside. Mm. To me, that's more important than whether you can frame or whatever you can
yes.
do. So I just didn't understand that.
Rivera were my favorite Mets catchers of the last couple years.
Yeah, Rivera's I think he's still in Triple A.
I think
them.
He is, too.
But they do like Nito, So, yeah, but back to your original question, at some point, you do have to trust those numbers, especially because you have to get DeGrom going.
Right.
That's essential to anything they're going to do here.
Yeah. I'm turning this into a Mets segment. That's kind of how it goes. I mean, the Yankees, I think, are remarkable, and to some degree, I think you leave it there. I do like that the Rays have enough moxie to hang in there and to beat them today. Not that I'm not saying a rooting interest in that sense, but I really respect Tampa hanging in with the big guys when numbers would tell you they shouldn't.
Yeah, they're fun. They're a fun team. They have some good young pitching. It hurts that they lost the one guy, Glasnow.
Yeah.
But, you know, Snell obviously is good, and they just, you know, they're not a fluke. They won 90 games last
right.
year.
Organization, John? I'm sorry I interrupted you. What is it about Tampa? Because if I'm hiring, I look at that organization and say, boy, with more resources, could some of their people do really unbelievable things with the way they evaluate?
Well, they did. The Mets did interview.
I know.
Their guy, and they decided on Brody instead. So, but you're right. Listen, they've done this for years. Some with more success than others. They are very good at finding, you know, the success on the margins, using analytics, all that stuff. They usually play really good defense.
Yep.
Offense is usually the problem.
Right.
But they can't quite get over the hump. We'll see if that becomes a problem over the course of the year. But they just find good baseball players. They've made some good trades, brought in guys like Pham and Diaz, and they have good players
yep.
there.
Yep. Meadows and Lau could be good players there for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to be a good race. I mean, the Yankees are fun right now,
they
too,
are.
With all the Gio Urshelas of the world. So
isn't he fun?
Yeah, it goes.
I love that story. It's such a non-Yankees underdog story, and I love it with the Yankees. I think it's fun.
Oh, man. Yeah. They're the gritty gutty Yankees right now.
The underdogs who are coming through in the clutch. I love it. John Harper, thank you so much. I always appreciate your insight and your time.
All right. Thanks, Kim. I enjoyed it.
John Harper's great. I could have kept him for another 20, to be honest with you, but it's a Saturday night. He probably has other things to do. And I know I have something else to do, and that is to say hello to Erica. Hi, Erica. Everything
hello,
okay?
Hello, Ms. Kim. Everything is just phenomenal.
How about the horse running on its
How
own?
How about that?
I was so rooting for that guy
that
to win.
That was exciting. And the horse didn't lose, which
no,
is hilarious.
No, he didn't lose, right?
No. No.
There you go. You have all the details.
Well, no.
Yes.
I mean, let's not get crazy.
Every detail from Erica right now.